Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to my colleague Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, another day closer to Packers-Lions on Monday Night Football. And we found out on Tuesday, as all the players returned from the bye week and had their first practice of the week, that Aaron Rodgers is back in the building. He's obviously out of the hospital. He's back in Green Bay, going to the meetings, working on his rehab, on his surgically repaired broken collarbone. And now, we don't know if and when he would play again in 2017. That is something that is to be determined down the road. But just his presence in the building seems to have brightened the spirits of a lot of his teammates, just to see their general, their leader, back on the scene.
Yeah, exactly, Mike. I mean, this is such a big thing for this Packers team. Offense, defense, special teams, every phase. When you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, a two-time MVP, a future Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, that's going to, across the board, raise spirits. And I think one thing for the Packers, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, the resource that he provides to not only Brett Hundley, but really everybody. You know, Ricky Jean-Francois was even saying it in the locker room on what would be Tuesday, trying to remember all my days here. He mentioning that, you know, the fact of, you know, he still goes up to Rodgers, you know, even if it isn't anything related to Rodgers' game, asking about different quarterbacks, things he sees, exactly, you know, there's so much knowledge that he's built up over a decade in the NFL that to have that resource there in the meeting rooms, in the locker room, it's so beneficial to this team, in addition to just the mental energy that I think he provides everybody.
Yeah, I think there was obviously a down period, a grieving period, even if you want to call it that, with regards to Rodgers' injury, and then he goes off to have surgery, and obviously there's a lot of uncertainty, everybody praying for a speedy and full recovery for him. And by all accounts, that in one way, shape, or form is going to happen. It sounds like he will be splitting his time now between attending the meetings, and I think it's in those meeting rooms, those film sessions with the quarterbacks, with Alex Van Pelt, maybe Mike McCarthy's in on those, Edgar Bennett may be in on those as well, where he's really going to be able to provide some insight, some help to Brett Hundley in terms of preparing, watching the practice film, watching the game film of the Detroit Lions defense, that kind of thing. But then he's also going to be rehabbing, and you know, as we know, it's a minimum of 8 games that he will have to miss if he is able to come back sometime in December. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers wants just as much as everybody else for Brett Hundley to try to keep this thing going, get some wins, and give this team a chance at the playoffs if indeed Rodgers is able to come back at the end.
Well, and like I've been saying too, Mike, I mean, we don't know what the timeline is. The Packers obviously aren't saying that right now. They, in some cases, you're not really sure how these things heal when you're dealing with bone injuries and collarbone injuries. But the one thing I've said since the beginning is the more wins you pile together, the wider that keeps the window open for Rodgers' return. And that's really going to behoove everybody, you know, whether it's Rodgers or this offense, this team. The thing that stands out to me, though, yes, it's very important to have him in the meeting rooms, and certainly it's great for having Hundley be able to bounce things off of him. I think it's also invaluable to have him there on game day.
Yeah.
I mean, to have him on the sidelines. We saw it with Seneca Wallace and Scott Tolzien and then even Matt Flynn back in 2013. Really, it's one thing to watch the film, and it's one thing for Rodgers to explain what he's seeing or maybe what he would do in a given situation. But really going through the motions and having him in your corner, I think is going to be really one of the biggest strengths and benefits of having him back in Green Bay for Brett Hundley.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch that dynamic, especially potentially on the sideline on game day, as you mentioned, between Hundley and Rodgers. Obviously, Rodgers is smart enough to know that Brett Hundley's not going to be able to process everything
right,
that Aaron Rodgers can after a decade as a starter and winning two MVPs and all of the vast knowledge bank that he has. But Rodgers will pick and choose his spots in terms of what to give Hundley and say, hey, focus on this. You know, it's all about maybe taking that one extra aspect every week or every series or every quarter, whatever it might be, and to try to take that next step with his game. And I agree with you. I think Rodgers could be invaluable in that process for Brett Hundley.
Yeah, and the one thing, too, I think we've got to remember this game is 53 players. And as much as it is a quarterback-driven league, you have to have a guy, and especially when you have an MVP guy like Aaron Rodgers, it's going to put you at the front of the pack. But at the same time, I thought another thing that Ricky Jean-Francois said while he was holding court on Tuesday was that Jordan needed people around him to win 6 titles. Tom Brady's won 5 rings, but you need a team around you. Rodgers is important to this equation. He's undoubtedly, the best player in the league and the best player on this football team. But it's also up to these other guys to understand their roles as well. So while a lot of this is on Brett Hundley, because he is the guy touching the football on every given play, it's on the defense to raise their level of play. It's on special teams to, hone in on their mental errors and some of their penalties. And it's on these other offensive players to really raise this offense on its shoulders. And I think that's biggest takeaway right now for this team is that, Aaron Rodgers is phenomenal, one of the best to ever do it. But they're all here for a reason, and they're the best at their positions in this league. You have to find a way now, even if you don't have Rodgers for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and I think it's a matter of finding a way to get that first victory.
Absolutely.
And finding out what it takes to get that first one, whatever that formula is, and then you build from there, and that's where the Packers need to go. So with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, you're talking about players kind of holding court at their lockers on Tuesday, the first media availability after the bye week. So there was a lot of interest in getting some interviews and whatnot. And one of those players who was generous enough to share some time was linebacker Blake Martinez. And I was kind of part of a group of reporters there, and it was an interesting conversation because I know we've talked a lot about Martinez and the leap that he has made from his rookie year to where he is now, and he's recording double-digit tackles on a regular basis, and he's ranked up amongst the league leaders in tackles. But it was interesting talking to Martinez because he says, he hears from these people about his tackle totals, and he had 15, 16 tackles against the New Orleans Saints. And he looks at the film and says, geez, I should have had 25. I mean, he's looking at the game film knowing that there's even still more out there for him. And I think that's just another sign of the maturation and just how far he's come from his rookie season.
I've said it before on this show. I've said it before to you. I've written about it, Insider Inbox. Just his play style. And how much faster. It's like he's just pressed the fast forward button on how he's playing this year.
Yeah.
Just so much more decisive. And just his ability. We saw the natural talent. I mean, that was clear. And obviously he's worked at this thing from day one. You go back and read all the stories. He doesn't eat desserts and this and that. But at the end of the day, he's just a really good athlete.
Yeah.
And I think with him being able to, all the preparation, all the studying, everything he's put into this thing since the Packers drafted him in the fourth round out of Stanford, is the reason why he's positioned himself into this spot today. Blake Martinez has filled a very vital role in this defense, not just because of the tackles and all that, but with the injuries that have mounted in the heart of that defense, specifically at the inside backer position. He finished that game against New Orleans the last, 12, 13 minutes, as the only guy left at his position outside
right.
of Josh Jones, who's a hybrid. So
yeah.
It's imperative for him to be playing the way he's playing right now. And I think if you're the Packers, and I've said this before, I've watched some of the other linebackers around the league. There's a lot of talented guys out there. I think Blake Martinez is playing at a pretty darn near close Pro Bowl level. I mean, he's been that type of player with how he's filling gaps and also how he's improved his game in coverage. I've been really impressed.
Yeah, I think the step up in the pass coverage has been certainly noticeable. He had the deflection in Minnesota
right.
that led to the interception by Demaryius Randall. And he talked about those are the little things that he's looking for on the game film. And that's a big difference for him from his rookie year that, his rookie year, he was, in charge of getting guys aligned and making sure everybody's in the right place and all of that. And he said he admitted he overthought a lot of things and it slowed him down. And this year, as you said, he's playing so much faster. He's reacting rather than thinking. And then when he goes to look at the film afterwards, he's looking at it for all the little things like, well, should I have been lined up, 1 yard to the left or right here? I maybe could have had a bigger impact on that play. Should my drop in pass coverage been, 1 or 2 yards deeper to where maybe I could have gotten another deflection
right.
that could lead to an interception? So those are the little things that he's focused on, as opposed to just trying to process the big picture as a rookie when you're trying to absorb this whole playbook of Dom Capers and the responsibility that was thrown on him. And then he was also dealing with injuries, obviously, as a rookie, kind of in and out of the lineup, wasn't in there all of the time. So all of that has led to a really, really impressive second season. And when you talk about that cliche of the leap a player makes from year one to year two, I think what we're seeing with Martinez right now, and this is what I've written about on our website, Packers.com, is the size of his leap for year two is not yet defined,
right?
Because it might keep getting larger.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to remember, this kid's 23 years old. He'll turn 24 in January. And just bringing up the stat sheet really quick, Michael, 13 games last year with 9 starts. He had 69 tackles with 47 solos. This year in 7 games, all starts, 64 tackles and 47 solos. Has already matched that number. That is the thing that I think is most impressive to me. Maybe there's some more tackles out there for him to be had, but the amount of them that he's getting to this year, I think, is exponentially grown. But I'd be remiss if we didn't mention his big bye week on top of all of this.
Oh, yeah.
In addition to everything he's been doing on the field, was also a pretty special off-the-field occasion for him. Brought his girlfriend out to New York, proposed to her, and it was a pretty elaborate kind of plan, it seemed like, for the most part. I mean, he had this thing all charted out.
Yeah, he worked on this for a while, had to kind of keep it, talked about having to keep it secret a little bit from his mother-in-law, because apparently she doesn't keep secrets very well. but yeah, it ultimately involved him. His girlfriend, now fiance, had been bugging him about getting a jersey. She's like, I see everybody with your jersey, but I don't have one. So then part of his proposal was he got her a jersey, and then for the nameplate on the back put Mrs. Martinez.
Yeah.
And then that was part of the proposal. And the most important part is she said yes. So the wedding, he didn't mention that a date has been set or anything like that, but Blake Martinez will be getting married sometime in the near future.
Pretty creative, too. I got to give him credit at that. I don't know if you were handing out any Mrs. Spofford jerseys back in the day, but I mean, if you know, she's asking for a jersey, I think that was a pretty neat way to go about finally giving her one.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. With that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford right here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, as we approach this first meeting in 2017 between the Packers and the Lions, when you think division rivals for the Green Bay Packers, I think the Bears and the Vikings are always the first two that come to mind for whatever reason. Obviously, with the Bears, there's a lot of history there. With the Vikings, plenty of history as well. But you look at this recent history with the Detroit Lions, and boy, there have been some, not only some high stakes games, but also some really entertaining football games between these two teams. And I don't know which one over the last handful of years stands out to you the most, but this is really quite a run that these two teams are on in terms of the entertainment value of this rivalry.
You know, one thing I want to point out right away is you bring up kind of the rivalries within the NFC Central, North, however you want to look at it. One thing that stands out to me about the Lions, they sort of punted on the 2000s. I mean, they were going through so many issues there. They couldn't find a quarterback in that post, you know, Barry Sanders era.
Right.
And then they draft, finally, Matthew Stafford. And obviously, there's been some highs and lows. You and I have talked about the ebbs and flows of this thing for the Lions. But they've been in this thing now for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, three playoff appearances in the last 6 years, I think.
Exactly. So yeah. I think in some ways, when you talk about rivalry standpoint, and I'm not one that gets into who's the biggest rival, I don't care,
yeah,
to be quite honest with you. But I do believe Detroit has reinserted itself into that question, into that conversation. When you bring up the biggest games, I mean, to me, it's still the Hail Mary game. And I could go on and on about this for 3 Packers Unscripted episodes. But for me, I mean, that is the one game where when you talk about just the how memorable it was, and there's been a lot of high-stakes contests, no question. Last year was one of them.
Yeah.
But that game, the catch from Richard Rodgers, the throw from Aaron Rodgers, everything that went into it, the how important that was at the point of the season for the Packers, to me, you know, despite the streaks in Lambeau Field and wins and all this stuff, that game is still one of the most memorable ones I think I'm ever going to cover, regardless of the team.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And it's funny when you look at that 2015 season. That was the second meeting between the Packers and Lions in 2015. And Green Bay nearly pulled off a miracle victory in the first meeting. Packers are down 18-16, and I believe it was a two-point game because of a missed extra point, if I'm not mistaken. And the Packers score late in the game and then recover an onside kick and get in position down by two for Mason Crosby to try a 50-plus yard field goal, which would have pulled out, you know, a miracle type of victory. And unfortunately, the field goal was missed, and the Lions escaped with a two-point win, which was then Detroit's first victory in the state of Wisconsin since the early 90s.
Right.
But then the Packers, later that same season, pull out an even bigger miracle with the Hail Mary. Just those two games in 2015 alone, and I know the Lions ended up not going to the playoffs that year, and the Packers did, but those two games in 2015 just speak to the type of games that these two teams can play sometimes.
Yeah, and it's the definition of rivalry when you have that amount of drama built into these contests. And certainly those two, I thought, really extended upon it, built upon it. That ended the Packers' streak of home victories over Detroit, which had been since, what was it, 1992,
I believe? Yeah, it was basically like a quarter century, 25 years, something like
Remarkable. I mean, Jason Hansen's whole career went by without the Lions being able to beat the Packers at Lambeau Field.
So and he was kicking for a long time.
Yeah, I remember reading those quote sheets from the Detroit locker room afterwards. They always said that that didn't matter, but you could tell afterwards how much they actually thought about it, how much it mattered. Be that as it may, the Packers have now been able to get a new streak started, and I think they've won three in a row now against Detroit. Last December, huge game, huge ramifications. I think the Lions were feeling really good going into that contest, but Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers again on that day, and it propelled the Packers forward. And again, I think reestablished that while the Lions have had moments, the Bears have had moments, the Vikings have had moments, more moments than both of those two teams, the Packers are still the kings of the North.
Well, and here's the statistic that the Detroit Lions are going to hang their hat on coming into Lambeau Field. Mike McCarthy in 11 seasons against Detroit is 18-4. The Lions have only beaten the Packers four times since Mike McCarthy's been the head coach, but two of those four have been when Aaron Rodgers was out. The game in 2010 where he got a concussion at Ford Field in the first half, left the game, and the Lions ended up pulling out a 7-3 victory with Matt Flynn coming in relief. And then the other one, in 2013, the Packers go to Detroit on Thanksgiving with Matt Flynn at quarterback, and really the Lions just completely dominated the game from start to finish. They win 40-10, and that was where it was looking like Detroit was going to win its first division title since 1991.
Right.
I think they haven't won the division since then, and then they fell apart in December when it looked like they were in complete control with that big win over the Packers on Thanksgiving. So two of those four Detroit victories come without Aaron Rodgers, and obviously they're not going to be sad that Aaron Rodgers is not playing Monday night.
Absolutely. And for the Packers, big game, big contest coming out of that bye. We talked about it yesterday. They've had a lot of success. Now they have to do it with Brett Hundley.
Yeah. All right. And before we go to a break, though, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Attention, Packers fans. We're calling you to fill up with Campbell's Chunky Chicken Noodle Soup. We're talking delicious, hearty soup packaged in an exclusive Packers Superfan can. These cans are limited edition for all you football fanatics out there, so don't miss out. Go on, huddle up, and fill up with this hearty soup, Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, before we go, the trading deadline in the NFL has come and gone this week, and a bit of a flurry of activity right before the deadline. I'm curious your thoughts as to which you think is the most impactful move. The San Francisco 49ers trade for a quarterback of the future, get Jimmy Garoppolo from the New England Patriots. The Carolina Panthers trade their actually leading wide receiver in Kelvin Benjamin to the Buffalo Bills, and then also the Philadelphia Eagles pick up running back Jay Ajayi from the Miami Dolphins. Your thoughts on maybe which of those would be the most impactful move?
I'm going to actually probably go with D, option D, Dwayne Brown, I thought.
Oh, I forgot about that one, yes.
Yeah,
the Seattle Seahawks.
I think that was a really key move for the Seahawks to make. You and I have talked about for years, I mean, really, where the line has been for Seattle. Dwayne Brown had the issues with the contract with Houston, obviously everything else that's happened within the last 2 weeks. I think him going out to the Seahawks is going to be a really good fit. Just from a pure fan standpoint, I think Garoppolo is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it's a really interesting situation for the 49ers, because while it's going to take him a couple weeks here to get up on the system, it's going to give them John Lynch and obviously Kyle Shanahan a chance to see Garoppolo in their system, a chance to give him some actual playing time, which is something he's only had in sporadic, you know, moments with New England, and really understand, okay, is this a guy we want to build a franchise around? So took a second-round pick. That'll probably end up being somewhere in the mid-30s. I was actually surprised. I thought it would end up taking a first-rounder to get Garoppolo out of New England, but, you know, there is the understanding that if he does leave as a free agent, the best they were going to be able to do is get a third-rounder as a comp pick for him. So this improves that. But I think it's going to be really interesting to watch the 49ers the rest of the season.
Yeah, with Kyle Shanahan and his offensive mind, and you know that this sort of gives him a head start, a jump start on maybe trying to build an offense and build a system around a young, talented guy like Garoppolo. I really like what the Buffalo Bills did in getting Kelvin Benjamin, because this is a Buffalo team that has not been to the playoffs since 1999. They have not been to the playoffs this century. And but they're right in the thick of things. I believe they're 5-2 right now. And their leading receiver is the tight end. They just haven't gotten a whole lot of production from the wide receiver position, so they go out and get somebody. And from Carolina's perspective, I think it's a signal, and this is a team the Packers will see later this year. They want to try to get a little more speed on the field, right. I think, at their skill positions, because they have Devin Funchess, who, along with Kelvin Benjamin, they were sort of the same wide receiver, 6'4", 6'5", big guys, but not the speed burners. And so Carolina's going to move forward with Funchess, and they're sending Benjamin to another team.
Yeah, very interested to see where Christian McCaffrey falls now in Carolina, too, if he ends up playing receiver.
Yeah, no doubt about it. With that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.